1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Welcome to the show. Coming up on today's program, Ed Marlow, the Paducah Sun, will be along. We will talk about last night's Racer basketball game. Also look back at football against Eastern Kentucky and the high school football playoffs. And then we'll get to the important stuff. We're going to ask about Ed's wedding. Be sure everything went okay. See if he has any funny stories to lend to us. But it's all coming up on today's show. Good game last night for Murray State. Really their first big test. Harris Stowe, they were supposed to win big, and they did. But last night you have a Middle Tennessee team coming in with four returning starters. And the Racers with one returning starter. And I'm telling you, it was early on evident that Middle Tennessee was going to play very physical. 5-0 the lead. I didn't have a good feeling in the first few minutes. But the Racers settled in, found what they needed to do in the game to compete offensively and defensively. They started making shots, started getting stops, competed for rebounds, did something I've never seen ever by a Murray State team. It may have happened, I just don't remember it. And that's hold the team to zero offensive rebounds in the second half. I mean, a good team, a good rebounding team. Now, Middle did out-rebound Murray 37-35. The Racers only got six offensive rebounds. So Middle did a good job in that category too. But Middle Tennessee held the seven, all those coming in the first half. So they were on a pace for 14, end up with only seven. A big night for the Racers. Jeffrey Moss, who looked like Jeffrey Moss, the one that we've come to really admire, 19 points. Hit three threes, made all six of his free throws, went 36 minutes. Wayne Langston looked good, especially defensively, and with his 15 points. Good job, had a couple of steals. DeMarcus Croker, 10 points, and a team high 8 rebounds out of the guard. But fans honestly were buzzing about Chad Culmreth. Now, Chad playing in a backup role, spelling Bryce Jones when he needed a blow, and also got into a little bit of a foul problem. So Culmreth comes in and was spectacular with hit a three just as soon as he came in the game, had a couple of great passes, a couple of really nifty layups, and it was wonderful. They show him with two assists, might have had more than that, but that's what they have him down for. But the 10 points, couple of rebounds, couple of steals, he really looked good. And that's not to overshadow Bryce Jones at all. Bryce, the starting point guard, he had a great game. Had 9 points. He made a couple of threes. He had six assists and two turnovers, and he blocked three shots. So I feel pretty good about that. Now, that just makes one game, Chad being the freshman, is that something he can continue to duplicate? Did he just happen to have a good game? We will continue to watch that. G. McGee didn't score it as well as he had in the early game, the first game, but did contribute in other ways with 4 rebounds, 7 points, and really good defense. And Justin Seymour couldn't throw it in the ocean from 3 range last night, 0 for 4. But again, like a good player is supposed to do, not shooting, how can I find a way to help my team win? Seymour steps up with 6 rebounds and 5 assists. Also had a steal in the game in 20 minutes. So pretty impressed with virtually everyone there. Breon Sanchez, A.J. Patty got some minutes. Neither really standed much. Sanchez battling some foul problems, but they will be counted on down the road, so don't discount what you didn't see last night. Kid I was really impressed with Middle Tennessee, Reggie Upshaw. I don't see how they're going to keep him from getting a double-double every night. The Racers did, but he got close, 16 points and 8 rebounds. Giddy Potts with 15 points. Middle Tennessee, their starting point guard, Ivory, who doesn't play much anyway, but he's a pretty good little point guard. He is out with the concussion, and that may have hampered what they were able to do last night in terms of their ball handling ability. But they did commit 15 turnovers, and the Racers had 14 of their own. And the Racers capitalizing on that, outscoring Middle Tennessee 23-10 on turnovers. A little later, we'll talk with Ed Marlow about it, but let's get your post-game audio. We'll start with Matt McMahon and then Wayne Langston, the Murray Lumber player of the game.
76-65, the final. The Racers pick up the win over Middle Tennessee. Racers head coach Matt McMahon joins me. Coach, congratulations. This is a big win and a toughness win for your team tonight because you got to be tough to beat this Middle Tennessee team.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Neil. I appreciate it. I'm just so proud of these guys. They played their tails off tonight, competed for 40 minutes. I'm telling you, that's a good basketball team. Middle Tennessee will win a lot of games this year. They're well coached. They got great size up front, tremendous athleticism and experience. So very happy for our guys. They prepared hard these last 3 days and put themselves in a position to win a big game.
It's something that I have never seen. 37-35 rebounding edge for Middle, but they only had 7 offensive rebounds, 0 in the second half. That's amazing.
Well, I think it was a key to the game because our field goal percentage defense was very good, and to hold a team that rebounds the ball so well like that to 0 offensive boards over a 20-minute span is really a credit to our guys.
We said in the pregame, Coach, with playing 4 guards is an asset on the offensive end, but you got to go play defense, and playing against Middle Tennessee, keeping them off the offensive glass. And we made the statement that the wings needed to get 20 rebounds between them, which is a big number. They ended up with 23. Croker rebounding, Moss rebounding, even Justin Seymour rebounding, all of them really sticking their nose in there and fighting on the defensive glass.
Yeah, it was really, so excited the way those guys competed. And then even, I think an area we can really help ourselves, most point guards are going to get back transition defense when a shot goes up. So we've really been encouraging Bryce to get in there and defensive rebound, and he went in and grabbed 4. And some of them were tough in traffic. So it was really a team effort. Everybody who played well and contributed.
Well, we got to talk about Mighty Mike coming off the bench in the first half, Coach, and he's been hindered by injuries, hadn't been able to practice, and really, for the point guard positions, got to understand everything you do and what the head coach wants. And he came in, played under control, and what a big spark he provided.
He was special tonight, came in, hit a quick 3, got the tempo going the way we wanted. And the thing Chad does, he can really pester you. I know I wouldn't want to play against him because he can really get after the ball defensively. But you look at our point guard play, 19 points. They got him for 8 assists. I counted 9, only 2 turnovers. The point guard play was just fantastic between Bryce and Chad. Really excited about their development.
One of our keys to the game was also going to be how the bigs played. And Wayne Langston, I know you would probably want more rebounds out of him, but I thought defensively he did very, very well and had 15 points, 1 shy of a career high for him.
Well, Wayne was good at the defensive end, and Middle's able to put him in some tough spots because they have big guys who can play out on the perimeter, and they're involved in multiple actions, back screen, ball screen. And so Wayne really had to be a quarterback-type guy on our defense, and he did an outstanding job there. And then I really love his skill level at the offensive end, and he did a great job of playing smart with angles in the post. Sometimes Wayne will settle for posting up 10, 15 feet out. We wanted him catching it in the paint to where he could just get a good angle, turn, and score. And he had a huge, huge duck-in seal for a layup there late in the game. That got us over the hump.
And this was a phenomenal game, too, for Jeffrey Moss. Led you in scoring, but just does the things you usually expect out of Jeff. Made 3s at a high rate, knocked down his free throws, and had a really good defensive game.
Yeah, big shots from Jeff, and then we just need him out there on the floor. His floor game is so solid. As it got late in the game, he helped control tempo. I think it was probably because he was about to pass out tired. But he made sure that we were in the right offense, that we weren't taking quick shots, and we were able to stretch out that game there the last 3 minutes and it prevent them from making a run.
I thought, too, it was a sign of maturity as you could tell they listened to direction from you where in the last 8 minutes everything was to the basket. Yeah. I saw you talk to G. McGee after he took a 3 late in the second half, and you said, hey, drive the ball. Well, from there forward, I don't know that there was a jump shot taken. I mean, everything was going to the basket trying to get to the free throw line.
Well, we've got good shooters, and I want them to shoot with confidence. But there's one thing I hate more than anything, and it's when you shoot a 19-foot, 9-inch, 2-point jump shot with a hand in your face. It's just the lowest percentage shot in the game. I'd rather you shoot an open 3 than that. And I feel like, with the way the game's called, it really benefits you to focus on driving the basketball and getting paint touches. Just like at the defensive end, it benefits you to be in those gaps and prevent people from getting in the paint. So, very pleased with our execution down the stretch because, you talked about it in the break, Kenny Middle plays multiple defenses. They're very long and athletic, and they can really challenge you as far as taking care of the basketball.
Well, and fans don't know, early in the year, you don't have a lot of practice time to practice against multiple defenses. Yeah. So to see the guards react the way they did. The other interesting stat I thought was outscoring Middle Tennessee, a much bigger athletic team, 36-28 in the paint. And that shows, you know, that's not just post-up play.
Sure.
That's driving the basketball, something that you've talked about getting this team to do.
Yeah, it's driving the basketball, and then it's also offensive rebounding. You know, look at Croker's great put back there
right.
late. And, you know, we really talked about it. We, you know, Coach Kane, James Kane, I'm sorry, did a great job with the scouting report, and he had it detailed and all the keys. But at the end of the day, we knew it was going to come down to one thing, and it was going to be that paint. And not only containing their dribble penetration, but keeping them off the offensive glass, and you already hammered that home in the second half to hold them to zero offensive rebounds. Just fantastic.
A lot of basketball to be played over the next few days. You go to Georgia. That's a big challenge.
Yeah.
A team that went to the SEC, to the NCAA tournament last year, and then three in Florida Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's a challenge in itself no matter who you're playing.
It is, and I'm telling you, that field down in Florida is loaded. You start off with Milwaukee. They're already off to a 3-0 start. Got great size, return all-league players. So we'll definitely have our hands full, but I'm sure these guys are excited. They have four games coming up in the next week and don't have to listen to me yell and scream in practice as much.
Wayne Langston is our Murray Lumber player of the game, and no wonder. He was terrific inside, 15 points within one of his career high as a Racer. Also had a couple of steals. Wayne, you really look comfortable in there tonight against some really good competition from Middle Tennessee down low.
Yeah, we just prepared all week, man. Coach Kane prepared us. I mean, it was a physical team. We had to go in there and rebound, and I think we got a good team win today.
And he talked about how you had adjusted what you're doing from catching the ball high. They want you to catch it low and bang it in, and it really paid off tonight offensively for you.
Yeah, yeah. If I get touches, you know, I can do something with it. And coaches and my teammates believe in me. So, I mean, we run some sets for me so to get the ball.
Couple of special scoring plays. We saw him come out of a timeout when we desperately needed a bucket, run the play where they get a little cross screen to you, mm-hmm. and you're able to get it low, and you were able to convert both times.
Yeah, man. I think that's loop throwback. When I come under and I duck in real hard and Bryce throw it in and I lay it in.
So tell us that in a game like this, this is as physical a game as we'll play all year, and that's Middle Tennessee's approach to it. And,
yeah.
You know, to be able to handle that and play smart without fouling, you played 31 minutes tonight, and I told you, that's the number I like. I love your 15 points, but the Racers are so much better when you're on the floor defensively.
Oh, man. Middle Tennessee, they're a great team. They're long, athletic guys on the court. You couldn't play in this game if you're not tough. Cause they try to punk you,
mm-hmm.
and you know if you're not tough, I mean they it's gonna be seen out here.
Well, sometimes they wake up the bear, you know, and you and all the rest of the guys. I'm telling you, that was that says a lot about what you have inside you guys as a team that you're able to withstand that.
Yeah, me and Moss, we just had to come out here and lead. We know what it's like, Seymour too.
Mm-hmm.
We played last year and it was a physical. I mean, it was a physical game last year, even though, I mean, we beat them pretty good. But it was a physical game, and we knew they was going to come in here ready and remembering what we did to them last year. So we had to come in here ready.
Moss is really being Moss tonight. That's kind of his typical game, 19 points, hit the threes, made free throws. Seemed very relaxed out there tonight.
Man, I'm so happy for Moss, man. He finally got a shot to fall, you know. I mean, he's one of the hardest working dudes I ever met, man. He put so much time into his jump shot, and I'm just glad it finally fell for him today.
One other note is Justin Seymour couldn't get his shot to fall tonight from the outside, but found other ways, gets those six rebounds and five assists,
and
that's what you got to do.
Yeah, man. When your shot not falling, I mean, you got to do something else on the court, you know. And that was a great job by Seymour.
Defensively, you tonight had to cover a post player standing at the three-point line
yeah.
and not a lot of the night. What's that like for you? That's different.
It is kind of different. You know, I just got to sit down and move my feet, close out, because he could shoot it. He could shoot the ball pretty well. I mean, I don't think he made no threes today, but, I mean, he could shoot the ball pretty well. And, I mean, it's just something you got to do, something we got to do for us to win. So I got to do what I got to do.
All right, play of the night, Chad Colberth with his back to the basket, throws it up over his head, and it goes in. What do you get? On a 1 to 10 scale, what do you think?
Oh, man, that's a 10.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's a 10.
Okay.
No question.
All right, that's what I thought.
No question.
You get a lot of basketball, and I know you players, you won't really say this, but – you get to play four games of basketball and no practices on those days. So that's pretty awesome when you get to play basketball Friday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and next week.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be great, man. But we just take it one game at a time. You know, we back to practice tomorrow. Great win tonight, but tomorrow, I mean, it's on to the next.
Just spoken just like the coach teaches.
I'm telling you, that's a senior leadership, Neil. We've watched the maturity of Wayne Langston as he's gotten here, and got great team win tonight. I like the way you said that. Yep. You give credit to your teammates, yep. And that says a lot about you as a leader.
Wayne, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, and we'll see you in Georgia, all right?
Appreciate that, guys.
All right. That's Wayne Langston, your Murray Lumber Player of the Game.
That's audio from last night's game, Wayne Langston. Before that, it was the head coach, Matt McMahon. The Racers will travel. They'll leave at noon Thursday for Athens, Georgia. They'll play Thursday night at 6. And we'll be on the air with that at 5:25 from Stegman Coliseum in Athens, Georgia. Then depart the next day for Fort Myers, Florida. Bus to Estero for that three-game tournament the Racers will play in the Gulf Coast Showcase. I'll take a break. When I return, Ed Marlowe will be my guest right after this. According to both FCS polls, Jacksonville State is number one in the nation, unbeaten against FCS competition. One bad punt at Auburn stands between the Gamecocks and perfection. Saturday, the Never Say Die Murray State Racers will attempt to shock the nation when they visit Burgess Snow Field. Join Jeff Waters and Logan Stott for the Willis Insurance Agency pregame show at 12:30 p.m. Saturday on Froggy103.com and Froggy103.7, your flagship station for Racer Sports. All right, Ed's coming up in a moment. I just wanted to get this in. Murray State quarterback Katie Humphreys, one of six nominees for the Stats FCS Offensive Player of the Year Award. Katie leading all signal callers nationally in passing yards, yards per game, completions, attempts. He's thrown 21 touchdowns and has only six interceptions. Also a comfortable lead in completions per game. He led the FCS in that category last year. On the list with him, Case Cookus of Northern Arizona, Austin Gaffer of Morehead State, Mark Iannotti of Southern Illinois, Daniel Sams of McNeese State, and Jacoby Green of Richmond. The Racers close out the season on Saturday at number one, Jacksonville State. Also, the Racer women in action tonight in women's basketball. They play at Illinois State Airtime, 6:45 for the 7 o'clock tip on WNBS and 1340WNBS.com. As promised, we're chatting with Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun, and it's been an exciting week for Murray State sports. Let's first of all backtrack a bit before we get into the basketball, and that is to this past Saturday, the Racer football team losing in heartbreaking fashion in double overtime to Eastern Kentucky. But Ed, this is a team, I think Mitch Stewart said it best, they've kind of adopted a never-say-die attitude. They've been close in so many games. This week, a big challenge to go to Jacksonville State. But I think a lot of positives in the way this season is winding down, at least to this point.
I agree, Neil. I unfortunately did miss last Saturday's game for my own exciting nuptials.
Sure. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I have paid very close attention and have gone back and reviewed those stats and that game film and things like that. And absolutely, at no point, you look at the first half and the Racers were rather lethargic, trailing 20-7 going into halftime, came back with sort of like a renewed resurgence, so to speak, there in the second half, you know, put up 20 unanswered. And then, you know, EKU comes away with that touchdown in the last 2.5 minutes of the game and then wins in double overtime. And it's exactly as Mitch Stewart said on Monday in his press conference, there just hasn't been quit all season long. And you feel like you go back and you look at all of the games they've played up to this point, the only game that they really never were in at any point in the game was the SEMO game, and they still only lost by 2 scores, just 2 for 6 in the red zone. So it's just – There hasn't been any quit in that locker room. There hasn't been any quit behind the offensive line and on the defensive side of the ball. And if you're going to take a silver lining from a season, if you're going to take something away knowing that you may finish, you know, 4-7, 3-8, 3-9, things like that, on the wrong side end of the win column, you've got to be proud of the fact that you gave every game every ounce of energy, and just came up a little bit short. And, you know, the Racers will look at that heading toward the end of this season, knowing that they can play a spoiler to Jacksonville State's number one seed and number one ranking overall in all of FCS. And, you know, those are positives. Knowing that they have hung around against every OVC opponent, regardless of the talent, you know, has to be telling them something on their way to Jacksonville. Like, hey, listen, you know, so what if they took Auburn to overtime? So what if they've beaten everybody else in the OVC? We've hung with everybody else. Let's see if we can hang with these guys. And, you know, it's like Mitch said on Monday, you hang around long enough and good things happen. And that's happened, unfortunately, to the Racers far too many times. Other teams have hung around, and that's how they've upended Murray State.
Well, we will follow that and wish them the best on Saturday. Now it's basketball. And last night, the Racers, this was really their first true test. Harris Stowe, that's one that they were supposed to win huge, and they did. But last night, Middle Tennessee, a team returning four starters, the bulk of it scoring and rebounding from last year. And they came to Murray, you know, this was, you take a look at the odds when you take a look, the Racers, I think, were minus one, which kind of surprised me, actually. But the Racers looked very good, kind of got punched in the mouth early, down 5-0. But from there on, really did very well, Ed.
You're right, Neil. I think a lot of it, you know, you take a look at who was supposed to be good for Middle Tennessee State coming into this game. You knew that Reggie Upshaw was going to be special. You knew that Giddy Potts was going to giddy up and down the floor, and he did that. You know, both of those players were really good. But I think a lot of the other role players for Middle Tennessee State really struggled from the floor. They were, I believe, a combined 8 for 34, whereas Potts and Upshaw were 13 of 19. So I don't want to say the Racers let them play their game, you know, those two guys, because, I mean, Upshaw was defended fairly well, especially in the first half. But those guys were going to get theirs. I think where the Racers were really successful, Neil, was just team defense overall. They limited opportunities, held them to zero offensive rebounds in the second half, which is, I don't know when the last time that's happened.
I don't either.
You know, that's ultimately mind-blowing considering how big MTSU is. Especially up front, you know, and the Racers were scrappy. I think the biggest storyline of the night was Chad Colbreth and his 14 minutes off the bench, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And when he was first subbed in there at about the 6.5-minute mark, you know, he put the Racers up for good. And you go back and look at that and you say, for good? But it's true. They were trailing 17-16. He hits a big three right off the bench. I mean, he had just stepped onto the floor, you know, then had his assist and a steal and put back. And, you know, and all of a sudden the Racers have a lead, and it was a lead they never let go of. And then he did it again in the second half, same type of substitution, got back on the floor, and all of a sudden he has that crazy and one where he got fouled from behind and put it up and in. Missed his free throw, probably was just a little, you know, a little excited that it sure. even went in. But then had another steal and score. And then I think his best play was a no-look pass to Wayne Langston underneath the basket. He's at the top of the key. Racers, at that point, I think up by about 10 or 12, and Langston was waiting right underneath. Upshaw, you know, went for the dribble, missed it, and Colbreth hit him for a no-look, easy layup. And the Racers were up 55-41 and, you know, and then held on. And, you know, I just the guys even said after the game, Wayne was sitting there, Langston was sitting at the press conference, and he said, I don't even know why I'm here. He said the player of the game is Chad Colbreth. And that's big, you know, with everything that's happened over the last couple of weeks. You know, the Racers' top backup point guard, Kedrick Flomo, with the heart condition. Chad Colbreth immediately thrust into that type of role, 10 to 14-minute type of guy under Bryce Jones. And he comes out and performs against what should be a very good Conference USA team.
And I think the thing that, and you know, you take a look at Twitter and people that I've talked to after the game, Colbreth was the conversation piece because I believe that was unexpected. I mean, you know, Bryce Jones comes in with glowing stats off a JUCO team that had won a national championship 2 years ago. You know, Langston, we know what he can do. You have, you know, Jeffrey Moss, no surprise there. Croker, he has, you expect good things out of him. But I didn't even know how much playing time this season Colbreth would even get with Flomo ahead of him. I thought, you know, he may sniff the bench the final minute of the game, and then Flomo is out for the season. He's thrust into this role, and I was just hoping he could maybe make a contribution by giving Jones a breather every now and then. And then he comes in, actually in both of these games, but last night, spectacular. You know, he still has a lot to learn. He'll tell you that, but he has no fear, and I love that about him. And he's not afraid to take a chance. It was just a spectacular performance, and that's how legends get launched at Murray State, Ed, by a young guys. I remember Popeye Jones' first game. Here's this guy. This is back when he was carrying the extra 55 pounds. He goes to the floor and dives and tackles a ball that's loose on the floor, tosses it, and they go down and make a layup, and fans fell in love with him. Now, he can only play about 6 minutes a game. He wasn't in shape to play anymore, but it can happen early on. And with Culbreth, another game or two like this, and he'll start to become somebody's favorite player.
I agree, Neil, but I talked about this with Adam Wells last night. There's certainly, I think, expectations do need to be tempered, of course.
Sure.
He is a true freshman. I mean, they play Georgia on Friday, which will be another early stiff test for the Racers. There's certainly going to be some growing pains, not only with him, but just with the whole team. You know, for everything that Jeffrey Moss did right, he was still 6 of 15 from the floor. Now, he's one or two bounces of, you know, away from shooting 50% from the floor. But, you know, his floor game was really good last night. You know, 19 points to lead all scorers, 4 rebounds, I think 3 assists, a couple steals, you know. But, you know, each Racer, bar whoever he starts or whatever matchups he goes with, you know, McMahon's guys, there's going to be some games where they shoot 55% from the floor and blow a team out, and there's going to be games where they shoot 35% from the floor, and they either come away with a close win or it's a big loss. And like I said, this is a team that's still going to be growing. And some nights they're going to show out and, you know, be extremely successful, and some nights they're going to be scratching their heads in the press conference saying, okay, well, you know, here's where we went wrong. We didn't shoot well from behind the arc, or we didn't crash the boards like we usually do, or our guards never really got aggressive in transition. And I think we'll see that. I think we'll see some ups and downs this year still. But that being said, certainly a lot of promise last night. I mean, I don't want to say MTSU came in expecting a win. Certainly not. You know, Kermit Davis and those guys, I think that's going to be a very good team in Conference USA. A lot of guys that came back from a big run last season where they made it all the way to the conference championship. But that being said, the Racers just showed a little bit of resolve last night, a little bit of grit, and that's that defense that McMahon has been talking about. Get physical without fouling, and, you know, get aggressive, try to get up and down in tempo and in transition, and just make MTSU pay for playing that half-court 1-3-1, the half-court trap. You know, let's get out of that. And, you know, and I saw a couple things out of McMahon last night that were just different. Things that you haven't seen out of Racer basketball in a while. I'm not sure any coach in the last 15 years would have called that timeout with 4 seconds remaining in the half. You know, and McMahon was adamant. We are not giving up points in this possession. I don't care, you know, what anybody thinks. And they didn't, you know, MTSU didn't have time to put a basket in. Just little things like that. You saw a little bit of zone last night, Neil, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 or 3 possessions of quiet zone from Murray State basketball, and that's a rare thing. And I know the Racers are battling some foul trouble, but, you know, this has been a team that's staunch about man-to-man physical defense, and all of a sudden you see the Racers kind of fall back a little bit and let MTSU take their shot, and then the Racers are there for a rebound. And, you know, and that's big.
Big test Friday night coming up with a Georgia team that was upset 92-90 by Chattanooga in their opener. They haven't played since, so they've had a week to simmer on that. I'm not sure if that's good or bad as far as the Racers go, but Georgia missing a couple of big pieces from last year's NCAA tournament team. But even against Chattanooga, they hit 54% of their shots, had a lot of struggles at the line, but made 10 of 20 from three-point range. So, you know, they're still very good. They have those SEC bodies. So they have that, and then 3 games next week with the Milwaukee team that's up to a 3-1 start, played Notre Dame tough last night. And, you know, the field doesn't have anyone easy in it, whether they get Duquesne or Pepperdine in the next round. Those will both be teams that will give Racers big challenges. But we'll know a lot about them by the time this team gets home from Florida.
You are right about that, Neil. Unfortunately, I am not going to be able to go to any of those games. I will be watching closely but from afar. I probably will be listening to Froggy 103.7 FM. Just a quick plug there.
Thank you.
I of course will be you know watching as closely as I can. And I agree. There's going to be a lot of tests, a lot of different players, a lot of different matchups. I imagine we will see every racer contribute at some point, and some facet on the floor. Last night we didn't see a lot from Breon Sanctius and AJ Patty. I imagine we'll see a lot from them the next 2 weeks as this team runs a massive gauntlet. I believe it's 7 games now in the next 18 days. A long road stretch of 4 games there, especially with that tournament. And it's not going to be easy at all. And at that point, I think the racers' depth is going to be really tested, especially in the tournament. It's a long drive from here to Athens. It's a long drive from Athens to Fort Myers. And then from there, they've got those 3 games back to back to back. And it's, you know, we're going to see a lot of different looks. We're going to see a lot of different matchups. And I think we might even see 2 or 3 different starting lineups just from a matchup standpoint. I think McMahon is certainly content on putting his best guys on the floor at any given time, depending on what the other team is going to give him. So we may see some Patty, we may see some Sanctius. I think last night we saw Culbreth and Jones on the floor at the same time, which I thought was really interesting. It was kind of neat to see that one and a half point guard look from the backcourt there. And just, you know, these guys are going to be really tested early, and that's, you know, even if you are a new coach, it doesn't matter. I think that's really important for a team that needs to be on the floor just to continue to develop that chemistry. What more can you ask for than a really tough slate of games early before you get into conference play? If I were a coach, it'd be a dream come true.
Yeah, it should be really good. Just a couple of notes on the high school football. We're down to just very few teams still alive here in far western Kentucky. Elizabethtown, I think they're all that's advertised, at least if last week was any indication. They go to Caldwell County. Mayfield gets Owensboro Catholic and McCracken County against Central Hardin. There are no more bunnies. You're playing a good team if you're playing this Friday, Red.
You're right, Neil. And the one thing that I will say is I'm really sad that I can't be at all 3 games.
I know.
I'll be covering some Murray State volleyball this week as the racers look to secure back-to-back OVC championships. I actually just finished up talking with Coach Schwepker about women's volleyball, and that's going to be really exciting. I'll be following that the next 2 or 3 days. But Friday night especially, I will be at Caldwell, Elizabethtown, and Elizabethtown thumped Paducah Tillman 42-14 to bring their season to a grinding halt. And what a season Tillman had, but Elizabethtown is absolutely no joke. But neither is Caldwell County. Their 2 losses have come by less than 3 points. One to Mayfield, who of course is still playing this week, and then one to Christian County, which fell last week. So, just you know, just going to be a great football game. I look forward to being in Princeton. I hope I don't bring any bad luck to the Caldwell Tigers, because the only 2 games that I've covered are the ones they lost.
Whoa!
So, you know, I've been thinking about that, and that's weighed on my shoulders a little bit. But I covered the first game of the season, and they missed a field goal in with time expiring to lose to Christian County, 23-21. And then they had the 10-point lead on Mayfield before Mayfield came back and beat them by 1 with, like, 15 seconds to go in the craziest football game I've ever seen. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking about my own little jinx there for a moment, but as a journalist, I've got to go cover the good games, and that is certainly going to be a great game. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Caldwell and Elizabethtown both average over 40 points a game. Should be a very offensive-filled game, very exciting. Shane Byrne is playing out of his mind football right now. I think he threw for 490 yards and 5 touchdowns, rushed for another last week, if I'm not mistaken. Just an outstanding performance from him, and you know, it's going to be a good football game. And then Mike will be at the McCracken County. I believe McCracken plays Central Hardin, and he's been eyeing that game, if everything played out right, he's been eyeing that game since week 2. So we're both getting the matchups that we wanted, and we're really excited about Friday night football.
All right, before I let you go, all that's out of the way. The wedding go fine? Everything good?
You know, I'm married now. you know, I mean, hopefully it sticks. You know, I'm sure it will. I've been making that joke with everybody, but yes, the wedding went really well.
Great.
It was beautiful weather. It really was just a blur, just to be honest. I woke up and was really excited, and I saw Aaron, you know, the doors blasted open, and I'd been so strong, like, all week, and then she kind of got halfway up the aisle, and I just, oh, man, you know, lost it.
Oh, it's an emotional day now.
It was a very emotional day, and it was good. Just, I had been so tough, you know, rock solid for so long all week. You know, I'm the guy, I'm the man, let's do this, I'm ready to go, and I was just a big mushy pile of mush.
Well,
so,
that's good. Yeah. I didn't hear any embarrassing stories or anything like that, so that's always good. I know I burned my hand. We had some sort of, I burned some Unity candle or something, and I had to turn the candle upwards, and I'm burning my hand while I'm trying to do this. So people, you know, the hilarity.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's great. You know, it's like, oh, great to provide the humor for the event today. So
we I had some fairly funny vows, and those went over pretty well.
Okay.
And then Erin had a couple things in her letter to the priest that were pretty spectacular. She proceeded to relay to the entire public, I guess, that I asked her to marry me in swim trunks, which went over pretty well. We were at the beach, and the message was that she had no idea how I was hiding the wedding ring, because we were just walking along the beach at Myrtle last summer, and she was just trying to relay that, you know, how in the world did he hide the ring, whereas everybody else in the audience was like, oh, my God, you were wearing swim trunks when you asked her to marry you? What in the world? So everybody was, like, laughing hysterically, and it was funny. It was very emotional. It was just very back and forth between laughter and me just sobbing like a big baby. So.
Well, I'm glad it went well for you. In the honeymoon, you're going, when is that going to be? You told me a zillion times.
December 15th through the 21st.
All right.
We'll be going to Disney.
How about that?
I will miss the awesome, what should be a good game between SIU men's basketball and Murray State.
Well, that, I think
Barry
that's worth
Henson
it.
And the Snipers will be back into town.
All right. That should be fun. Ed, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. No show next week for Thanksgiving, plus I'll be gone, but we'll chat with you in a couple of weeks. All right?
Sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right. That is Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun. Coming up on tomorrow's show, a quicker version than normal because we are heading out tomorrow to go to Georgia for basketball, but a quick version of the football previews. We'll have them, but it'll be a little quicker version than usual on Thursday's Neil Bradley Show at 1340WNBS.com.